All right. So, it's been, I feel like it's been weeks. It's Jason Demro. You're listening to Cohen Meander. It has been weeks. This all was triggered by my Sandy car, the Mitsubishi Mirage, started having weird issues with the transmissions, not surprising at all. And of course, I put 700 miles a week on the commuter vehicle. And that's going to be rough on any mechanical vehicle. And Sandy did a good job. Got fantastic gas mileage, which was its purpose, was to do that. And so I said, well, I'm going to have to switch out vehicles. And I've been using Bob for a few weeks, and I'm getting getting good vibes from Bob, which is the 2010 Jeep Patriot that Lisa drove for the longest time. And now it's doing the trip. And not that the Jeep Patriot really has any better mechanical reputation. It's got its own problems. We've had, I think this is the third throttle body assembly on this car. What else? Anyway, so in the midst of changing out the cars and trying to get it so that it'll the new situation works okay. I had just taken out the passenger seat of Sandy, and that worked really well. I've always had problems with spoilage of food, and and there was no, and I had put in kind of a cooler, but it was too small, and all the good coolers cost hundreds of dollars now, and it's like, I am not going to spend money on this. So I took out the passenger seat. One of the kids had a pad that they'd used for a little while that was over in the storage house. And I grabbed that, one of the sleeping bags that I use, and I had started using that whole setup for because during the winter time, the water bottles freeze up solid, and it's really hard to drink water that's frozen. Sometimes during the day they'll start defrosting, melting, better word, and then you can get some water out of it. But this one setup, which is just a big long insulated space, oh, that just solved the whole problem. Absolutely solved it. But I had to take that out. I didn't have time to do anything else. And I really haven't looked at taking out the passenger seat on this car to try to make this work better. To be honest, for the high security place where I work, and I'm gonna need to go in and out of a high security gate to get that. I think having the seat out, because it looks like you're covering up a body over there, you know, on the side of this, on the side that doesn't have the seat. And, you know, I can just imagine what kind of crap that's going to stir up. You need to show me that, sir. I'm like, yeah, I know. Okay, well, whatever. Anyway, so I might put off this for a little while. Trying to think, yeah, I still have the cooler. So, you know, it's one of those little styrofoam, those cheap styrofoam ones. That one still cost me $10 for basically a bunch of, you know, swollen up polystyrene. And it's like, I can't believe this costs this much money. It can't be real. It's got to be somebody saying, ooh, I can make the excuse that inflation's going up, and I'm really going to soak it to people, man. When they go to buy this, I'm going to make so much money. So, but what I was really wanting to talk about was the fact that my headset, my trucker headset that I use to make these recordings, I kept forgetting to take it out of Sandy and put it in Bob. It's a red Jeep Patriot. And I think Lisa came up with the name Bob because it was Bob the red tomato from VeggieTales, which was kind of a thing when our kids were young. And we got a kick out of that. It's a fun little thing. So that's why this car is called Bob. Matt named Lisa's new car, which is Wolf. It's kind of a silver vehicle. So I don't know why he called it Wolf, but he called it Wolf. It's stuck. Lisa calls it Wolf. So there it is. You gotta name your vehicles some level. So anyway, a lot of things have been happening. That's happened. Sam's autism diagnosis has been reversed, which is good. He wanted to get back in the military. He's still working on it, but the major impediment to him going back into the military, it has been removed. Now he's just kind of a smart little guy that does good on the ASVAB test, which means that he'll be able to do any number of interesting jobs when he gets back into the military. He's still going for the Air Force again. Although he said if the Air Force doesn't want him, he'll go with the Army. Regardless, that's kind of gone on in the intervening time. We've had a lot of temple trips. The Lubbock Temple is currently shut down. So it was shut down last week. It's going to be shut down this week for the normal spring cleaning. That hasn't curtailed going to the temple. Lisa got an urge to invite our full-time missionaries to go to, the temple in Lubbock just before it shut down there on a Friday. And then just, the day before yesterday, a couple in our ward went to take out their endowments, and here pretty shortly they're going to go and get their, have the sealing ordinance done. They're married. They've got, how many kids do they have? Three, maybe four? This is bad. Anyway, so we've been able to go to the temple anyway, even though my weekly trip has been a bit curtailed. It's always good to do it a different way because then Lisa has a better chance to make these trips. And it isn't expensive as having two different vehicles going and meeting up. We've only done that once. Lisa's kind of like, I don't like that. We end up using twice the gas, choose up Lisa for pretty much two days. And we have to overnight in Lubbock. And Lubbock's kind of expensive relative to Amarillo. I only usually have to overnight myself during the winter time when circumstances are really bad. You know, it's really intensely cold or it snows or something like that. And then I'll just get a motel room in town instead of handling the camping out. In the boat, I finally took out the head. Well, I took down one of the walls that formed the compartment where the head is, and I put a board across that, and and now I can actually sleep in the V berth, making the rest of the boat into kind of a living space, although to be honest, I haven't taken advantage particularly of the living space. It's there, the pads are back in. I originally had my head up toward the point of the V berth, up toward the front of the boat. And I finally said, well, this is dumb. Why am I doing that? You know, it was, I would wake up, and I mean the ceiling of the boat is right there. It's about 6 inches from my head. And that's all the space you really have. If I were to sit up, I would just clunk my head. It'd be terrible. I said, well, this is dumb. Why am I doing it this way? So now, I pretty much, my head pretty much sits over the head. The head hasn't been used for who knows how long. I've never used the head in there. And it doesn't smell or anything as far as I'm aware of. And that gives me headroom and all this other stuff. And there's kind of a headboard, the last bulkhead that's really left in the boat for the, it's not really a bulkhead, but I guess I call it that for lack of a better term to call it. Anyway, that gives me a place, and it really, it feels just better. Although the one thing that I did lose was my convenient place to put my, like my glasses, my e-reader, which is very sad. I'm struggling with the e-reader. I bought it on a whim because it's a weird situation. I was gonna be charged for a bill for Mesa Lands Community College that I had really just that I had put on my own debit card. And when we were on the big vacation, I was between jobs. I still had quite a bit of money in that account, and that bill was getting ready to come, and the only thing stopping it from really being processed was I didn't have enough money in the account. But the account was going to get like my last check from my previous job. It's going to put it over the top, and all of a sudden I was just going to have to eat that charge. And I said, boy, I don't want to do that. You know, it was like $200. And so I had to quickly buy something using that account to make sure it stayed low, so at any time they went to get the money from it, it would just get the whole thing of, well, you don't have sufficient funds to cover this. And it was nice because it wasn't paying it. it wasn't like the thing of, well, we'll pay it, but we're going to give you a big stiff fee, and you're going to owe us money, and we're going to make your life miserable. These guys do it a different way, which I really kind of like. So I had bought this ebook, and what is it? It's not a Nook. It's a Kobo Clara HD. So it's a little bit old. I don't like it because it's got one of those kind of almost touch-sensitive buttons on it for a power button. And it seems like everything I do triggers that thing. And so when you actually go to read a book, the power's gone. You know, the battery's drained. And so you're constantly having to charge the thing. And the whole point about an ebook is, well, isn't this great? The battery lasts for weeks, maybe even months, depending on how much you use it. And you go, mine doesn't even last 2 days before, for some reason, the battery's shot. And it needs to be recharged. It doesn't take long to charge it up. You know, it takes maybe an hour and a half to charge it up. But then the next day when you actually go to read it, and you haven't used it. It has not been used. You have not read anything. I go to pick it up, and it's like, I can't get it to turn on. And then once I finally get a light on it, because, you know, the first thing that goes is a little backlight that you need to use it. You know, and it's got e-paper, so it's really supposed to last a long time. You'll find turn get to kind of respond, and it'll say, oh, I'm out of power. You need to charge me. It's like, oh, hi. Is it just the battery is just so flat? So I either need to get a new battery for it. I like the concept of it. I love e-paper. It's just not working. And of course, whatever battery you're going to get for it, number one, it's going to be an old battery, which is usually the problem when it comes to these lithium ion batteries. It's not that you've used it too much. Depending on the chemistry of the battery is how it behaves. The old nickel metal hydride, the old nickel cadmium batteries, they would just only be able to take a certain number of charges before they just wouldn't charge anymore. Lithium batteries aren't affected as much by that as it is simply by age. It doesn't matter if they've never been hooked up, never been used, they last 5 years. And after 5 years, they start getting really futzy. And that may very well be the problem with this. I don't think I don't know how old the e-reader really is. I'm always constantly surprised by how old these things tend to be. Anyway, I've seen some Chinese stuff, but they always really way announce their products. This is coming out. Here's a prototype, and you go, yeah. And if it doesn't get enough legs on it to make you actually, you know, to make it worthwhile, it will never be but a mock-up. You'll never see it. So it's a really great idea. They come up with all these wonderful mashup ideas. Every idea that you've ever come up with, the Chinese are pretty much three-quarters of the way to making it into an inexpensive product for you. Well, relatively inexpensive. There is a phone called the Minima, and it's got an e-ink screen. It lasts forever. Not that that's really a big issue for me these days, to be honest. My ebook, it's so unreliable that I just do content on my phone because that works. I don't have to worry about now, you know, I don't know how much blue light I'm getting and how much I'm ruining my eyes, stuff like that. But at least my phone does what I need it to do, as opposed to the e-reader, which 3/4 of the time I can't use it. And it's like, well, what good is this piece of garbage? Which is really sad because I like the whole thing. You know, the form factor's good. Everything's good about it. Anyway, so that's been kind of frustrating. That, and it uses a special connector. You know, everybody's moved to USB-C, so have I. And this thing still uses a mini USB port because it's that old. So I have to carry around a whole other cable for it. You can't just plug it into a power port. It has to talk to an actual computer that it can connect to and that it can become a little USB drive off of it. And that's really annoying. So I have to, it's not too annoying. I've always got my, my little, what I call my little Petey Wheat, handheld computer. Nice little one. And, boy, which has gone through a lot. I've had to change out the case on it once. And, I've already had to rebuild it from scratch once where it was. Luckily, I don't do anything too exotic with it, so it's not too hard to rebuild. I play Age of Empires original, you know, the first one, gold. And sometimes, you know, I had a real great person. You know, I stay away from games because games frustrate. I know some people enjoy the challenge of games. I don't. I don't mind it being a little bit challenging, but I also don't. I also don't like losing too much. And the guy said, "Hey, man, it's a game. If you're not having fun with the game, do something else. You know, find a different game that's more interesting." So, I'll play Age of Empires. And then if it starts really going badly and I'm getting my butt walloped, I'll just stop it, restart. Start afresh, which I'm sure other people would go, "Oh, you horrible pig." The whole point of that game is that, you know, any kind of good game is that sometimes you have to lose. You go, "You know what? I'm not into that." So now I finally have my headset with me so I can make a recording. And so you got all the background on all of that, how much things have changed. I'm using a new vehicle. I'm sleeping in a different part of the boat, as if there's huge parts of the boat. It's not that big of a boat. I'm sleeping where people are supposed to sleep comfortably. The other places to sleep are made for little kids. And I'm not going to go there. My head is now oriented in a better way that I think is better long term. It's never quite as good as the blister was. I could stand up in the blister after I lifted it up on hay bales. It was a good setup. It was just sad that it was melting. There was problems with it melting that way. You can go back to old recordings. I think I talked about that. Anyway, so finally got done with this quarter's bunch of, actually the sad part is the quarter just ended. It's now a new quarter. It's time to rethink, teacher councils because we're supposed to do them every quarter. So I do them every quarter like I'm supposed to. banking on the gift and happiness of being obedient to instruction, whether you think it's really warranted or not. Like, I think us doing these teacher councils every quarter is kind of overkill. I would only do it I would do it semi-annually myself, but there's got to be, certain blessings come from just doing what you're told, and that's fine, but it ends up being, as soon as I get one kind of solved, I'll start doing the prep work for the next one. Not that it's a big deal, but it's just like, probably for me, I guess that's not really true. I was about ready to say that I don't see the value of it. I do. I do think I see the value of it. Anyway, so we just got that done. We're coming up to, I guess we can call it the family council. For lack of a better term for it, it was supposed to be a teacher council made for to help exchange ideas between different families we have to call them households now, because a lot of these households are not really families. They're just a lady and her dog, or, so many broken situations, or situations missing critical pieces. How about that? Everybody wants to make it sound good. That's like, so you need to figure stuff out. Anyway, there's things I'd like to say, but it's rude to say them, so I'm not going to. Keep it to myself. But we were talking in Elders Quorum Sunday, and talking about shooting past the mark, which was a talk by Elder Renlund, I think. And and they wanted examples. Nobody was saying anything. So I said something about the traditionalism that you should pass the sacrament and take the sacrament with your right hand. And oh my gosh, I got straightened out. And I felt a little bad. So I guess I was I got quiet after that. It's like, oh, sheesh. And I went home and I looked it up, and sure enough, it's a strange, vague reference. There's this really scritchy, scratchy recording from President Oaks from 2019. It's some ward in Chicago, Illinois. And he talked about it, and apparently it's been included in one of the revisions of the Church Handbook of Instructions. Says a little bit about it now, which it didn't say before. And that was what I was going off of, was I don't remember there being anything in the Church Handbook of Instructions, nor anything in the scriptures, to really say that you had to do this. And I was corrected. It's like, oh, okay. So I put up on Facebook, I said, thanks for the correction. And had a little thing back to the actual video, which sounds so bad, it almost sounds like it was kind of an AI thing. So it does sound like Elder Oaks, President Oaks, pardon me. And, It's like one of those things of, boy, this really sounds crappy. It does sound like somebody just kind of recorded it on their cell phone and then put it up there for people to listen to. So, but you know what? Whatever. Is it a bad thing? No. So yeah, we're going to start taking the sacrament. I think I already was doing the sacrament with my right hand. It's my predominant hand. So it helps. And there are a lot of right-handed things in the church, being on the right hand of God. Almost everything in the temple is identified with the right hand. So it's not out of the realm of possibility of yes, being important. And the recording from President Oaks, he was kind of explaining it to, I don't know, some young people, mostly deacons, I guess, talking, and he was talking about those things, about so many right things. And my own personal take, which is nothing new, of course, about the Aaronic priesthood and how the performance of ordinances in the Aaronic priesthood is extremely set. It has to be done a certain way. And that's right. Very, very, very persnickety the Lord is about Aaronic priesthood ordinances, of which the sacrament is one, along with baptism. So I had that wonderful experience, and it's kind of tough to get sucker punched like that, especially when I go out and I don't know if I really try to tout myself as some kind of an authority. I have my own private ideas about why things are, or why things should be, and the way things should go, perhaps. That it's like, you know, if they go this way, great. If they don't go this way, you know, it's not really my job to say, this is the way it is, and you guys are in trouble because you're not doing it the way I think it should be done. It's like, oh my gosh. That's not my place on any level at all to do that. That's what the brethren are for, or whatever. Oh, and boy, let me tell you, the brouhaha about there is an eclipse coming up in, I think it's in a couple of weeks, one of the big two eclipses that draw an X through the United States and those who are sky watchers, the community of watchers, which are always interesting to listen to. They think that this is the harbinger of something. And I was just listening to and the church just bought the Kirtland Temple from the Community of Christ, the old reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that among a number of other properties, the Community of Christ is very transparent with its finances, and it's in financial dire straits. So the selling off of these properties was a good way to raise funds to focus on what they want to focus on. They're very much about social justice and peace, things like that. Like I said, not really bad things, but not. I think a lot of the things they're talking about are a little premature, given the state of the world. My impression is that the Community of Christ has really distanced itself from Joseph Smith and what Joseph Smith did, the experiences that he had, and the fact that he might have been a prophet, I don't think they really subscribe to that, at least not the younger people. Apparently the older people, who are quite upset with the community of Christ, although they don't feel like they have any place else to go, I suppose. A lot of, I guess, what would you call them, remnant churches have broken off from the community of Christ. That's not really possible for whole congregations to stop going to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's just not in the program. Although I'm sure they've come up with some way of doing it in Utah. Utah always has the very, very best and the very, very worst of everything that Mormon culture has to offer. And that's partly why I stay out here in the sticks, because I really don't want to be worked over like that. Of course, the sad part is our little branch, when it was a branch, was very much a local convert branch. The people who went to church in Tucumcari were people who had grown up in Tucumcari. Oh, I'm nearly out of gas. Good. Glad that thing went bing. I wasn't thinking about it. I'm going to pull over and get some gas here. It was really kind of a convert branch, and I liked that. I feel a lot of affinity with converts. Well, now it's really changed, and now it's mostly an expatriate. Now it's a ward, although it's a tiny ward that barely qualified once, just long enough to help our stake split. Now it's just another Utah expatriate ward. And so it kind of has all those weird things. Well, this is the way we used to do it back in Utah, and I think that's the way we should do it here too. And when I say, but this is not the way this branch has always been, there's only like two or three families left and of converts. All the rest of them are just, we're here to give the authentic Utah experience to nice little lifelong Latter-day Saints who whatever. So it isn't the branch that Lisa and I loved and enjoyed the community. It's 3/4 gone. Either the people have died, or they've gotten so old that they can't be, that they really aren't in leadership anymore to carry on the traditions. There's only a handful of us that even attempted it. The last potluck we had was a pathetic one. For guys, this isn't a potluck. I said, They sent around a sheet to make assignments. Oh, what do you bring? You know, we got to bring enough salad. We got to, everybody brings too many desserts. And you're going, that's garbage. That's not true. What? It said, why don't you just relax and let it be what it is? And they can't do it, because it's too much. It's too much how they used to do it up in Utah, where they were accustomed to. And it's really quite, you know, is there anything to do about it? Is at this point, no, there's nothing to do about it. It's the way it's going to be. So, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know if this is really that great of a recording, but it is what it is. 45 minutes long. Got a little more time, but I got to get some gas now. And let me leave you with the priestly blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to smile upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance toward you and give you peace.